This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's so lovely to see people. How wonderful to see you all. Please stand with us as we'll sing a song, our first song. We'll just start in prayer, if you guys would just close your eyes with me. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day, this wonderful day you have made. I thank you that we can rejoice and be glad in it, Father. We thank you that you have brought us all here together for a purpose and for the unification of your church, Father. And we thank you that no matter where we are, and whether we're in here or watching online, Father, thank you that you are unifying us. And thank you that you're with us wherever we're at, Father. May you be with us as we sing songs, as we hear from your word, Father. May we be encouraged today and be strengthened. And we trust that you are, you will guide us in listening with a spiritual ear today. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you. Amen.
Conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who
Join us on your feet as we continue in song. Awesome. I would just like to add to what Derek said. For those of you who have children, or who have had a baby in the house, you've seen how awesome when they discover sound for the first time, when they discover that when they do something that it causes something. How happy they get, or how excited they get by this simple act. And it made me really think that about faith, where maybe things in the beginning were very simple for us, and through time sometimes our strive for knowledge and our strive to know things has caused us to forget the simple things which He so freely gave to us, and which is so beautiful. Like when I see Annabelle, who's 7 months old, when she rattles something that is so simple in my eyes, if I rattle something, I don't get excited about that. But it just made me think how excited she is about life and about discovering new things. And as we sing these songs today, I want you to just think of that, you know, in your own relationship with God. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost the joy of the simple things? I want to encourage us that it's the childlike faith that Jesus really loves. And He looks at the children and He says, if we have faith like these children, we will surely make it into the kingdom of heaven. And I say this because a lot of these songs on my heart for today is a lot about what Jesus did for us. And it's a simple gospel. And who He is, what He has done for us, and who we are His children. Yes. So let's go. Let's sing and remember this as we sing.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up Your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on Your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We gather together to lift up Your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on Your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as Your saints bow down, as Your people sing. We will rise with You, lifted on Your wings, and the world will see that our God saves, our God saves. There is hope in Your name.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. Gather together to lift up Your name, to call on the Savior, to fall on Your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as Your saints bow down, as Your people sing. We will rise with You, lifted on Your wings.
Our God saves, our God. as your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see. Chosen me, love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child.
Yeah. Thank you. Relationship with you through the cross of Christ. That relationship, Father, is giving us hope. Hope for the future. A lot of people in this world at the moment, they do not actually know what is going on, what's going to happen tomorrow. But Father, that we can have that surety. That if we walk with you, we're going to walk with you for eternity. We thank you for that hope. We thank you for that confidence which you put in us. We thank you, Father, that you want to be our Father and that you are our Father through Jesus Christ, who died for our sins in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask if there's anyone who got, during worship, if you got a picture or a word or a vision or anything else what you would like to share, what God shared with you, which is for the congregation.
While we worshipped, I got Revelation 12. From verse 10 and 11 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying, 11, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death." So the Lord was just convincing me about the power of the blood of Jesus. And this one came in conjunction with what the Lord taught the children of Israel, like slaughter a lamb and then smear the blood on the doorsteps, so that when the angel of death comes, then he will overlook. So the devil has already been cast down. So we can't do anything about it. We can't tell the Lord to kill him or to take him away. He's here. But how we can overcome him is by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is everything. So that was it.
Thanks a lot, Urbanus. Anyone else who has got something? There's the microphone.
Hello, everyone. While we were singing, I saw those birds that fly in a V. We often see them now. One is at the front, and then they form a V, and it's much easier, seemingly, to fly. Seemingly, the cyclists do the same. You go in the slipstream of the other one, and then it costs you less energy. But I felt God is saying, we must follow Jesus, and then we will be able to fly. And this song was also about we will be free. Put it a little too low. There it is. And it's okay. So we must follow Jesus, and it's one guy once said, one beggar shows the other beggar where to find bread. So it's not that we are champions or whatever, but we are there together and we help one another to follow Jesus, to go where he wants us to go. Amen.
Thank you. Today we're going to talk a little bit about life. But not only life is what we've got around us at the moment, but is where is life coming from, the life what we've got at the moment, and then the most important one, eternal life. If we talk about life, we are quite focused on what is going on around us. And I think at the moment, if you would speak to a person, I think one or two sentences down your conversation, the person will talk about his or her life, around her, what is keeping her busy at the moment. And all of us are so involved with the things around us. But where did life actually start? And if we take a look at our physical life started in Genesis, because that's the oldest record what we've got. Genesis 2, verses 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and a man became a living being. And the Lord God, the Lord Jehovah, referring then to God, and then the second one, God, Elohim. And Elohim is plural. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So all three were involved with creating life. All three were involved with the physical life, with the start of the physical life. And we are the crown of his creation. We are the crown of God's creation. Each and every one of you is the crown of God's creation. We've been created somewhere the same as the animals. We eat, we sleep, we walk. But there are a few things that we are doing, what the animals are not doing. We are thinking, because there are not many animals which are actually thinking. We are reasoning. We're very good in that. And we also have got a conscience. So there's something where we can go back to. Why have we done it? And if we take this physical life, the thing about the physical life is also if we would reverse it, if the life is taken out of it, we become dust again. This verse is actually has got a beginning and an end, where it starts with dust and then living being. But if the living life is not in us anymore, then we become dust. And we spend a lot of time on this physical life. And if we take a look at the world around us, and if we take a look at all the advertising, what is happening, it's focusing on that life around you. You've got to go on that boat trip. You must go to and watch that game. You must drive this car. This is for your life at the moment. This is the most important thing. You need it. This is the best phone you can buy, the best computer, and all those type of things. So God is the source of life. And we are thinking quite a lot about the physical life around us. But it shouldn't be that important, because the most important where we actually should be involved with is the spiritual life. And God is the source of the physical life, but God is also the source of the spiritual life. We are a body, a soul, and a mind. We are a body, soul, and a spirit. And in that soul, we've got our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that God has given us. And God has given us that life. We didn't bring anything to the party. God gave us everything what we need. John 1, verses 4 says, in him, that's in Jesus, was life. And the life was the light of the man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. If there was one word which John has been using in his gospel, then it is that word life. He used it a total of 36 times. So he was quite busy with that. And life is so important, because if there's no life, it's dead, then there's nothing. Even light was also important. He used it 23 times. But if the light is shining in the darkness, it gives hope for the people in the dark. If you are in darkness and you see a light somewhere, I've got it sometimes in the morning. I don't want to switch on a light and disturb Renee. Then if there's a little bit of a light, then I can, by that light, I can get out of the bedroom. And that's helping me. So that light is very important for me. But that light, what Jesus brought, was also
for other people to see where they were making a mistake. He was pointing out to the Pharisees and the Sadducees where were they doing wrong and what they had to change. And God gives life. He gives the physical life and he gives the spiritual life. It's offered. God is giving it free to each and every one. And then there are two options what we can do. We can say, no, I'm not going to accept it. I don't want it. And the other is we can accept it. And there's nothing in between. You maybe can say, okay, it's only for elderly people. And if you're getting closer to the 60 or 70, then you must start thinking about God, because there's a possibility of the possibility that you die is just increasing. No. We've got to make the decision as soon as possible. And God is promising us eternal life. In James 1, verses 12, James wrote over there, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God is promising eternal life. If you do not trust God, or if you do not believe that God can give it to you, then it's actually an empty promise. If I'm going to promise you, I'm going to give you 1 million euros, if you're going to buy an ice cream at the shop next door over there, do you think I'm going to keep my promise? No. Because you know I haven't got 1 million euros. But if God makes that promise, and God says to you, I'll give you eternal life, is he going to do it? Yes. If we're going to say no, he's not going to do it, or I hope so. I hope that he's going to keep the promise. No. Because this is where we've got our belief is based on, that we believe, that we trust God, that he's going to keep his promise, that he's going to give us eternal life. Romans 6:23. If there's one verse in the Bible which you can, besides John 3:16, this is also a verse which you can remember and keep it with you. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. For the wages of sin is death. What we've done wrong, there's nothing what we can earn. We've got to die for the things what we've done wrong, what we've offended God, the things what we've done against God's will. We can only get one thing for it, that is death. But then God is giving us, as a present, he's giving us eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We've got to accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. And then we can, receive that gift. Then it is open, then we can open up our hands and then we can receive it. And we've got to go through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. We cannot work ourselves into a position. At your work, you maybe can do it. Maybe you're playing in a team somewhere that you say, yes, I can work myself into a position. But God, it doesn't work like that. It's just as easy for each and every one the same. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. And then you can have eternal life. In John, I'm talking quite a lot about the book of John today, actually. In John, Jesus is saying seven times, I am. He's reminding the people seven times what he says, you've got to go through me. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. There's no other way. There's only one door. That's Jesus Christ. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the true vine. So Jesus is repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. There's only one way. It's Jesus Christ. So the songs that we've been singing before the sermon, yes, it's all linking up. God wants to remind us today, there's only one way, and we must understand it. And if we do not understand it, how can we tell it to other people? I just want to elaborate a little bit on that one of I'm the resurrection and the life. Jesus went to Martha and Mary when Lazarus died, And as he was coming closer than to the house, Martha came out, and Martha started speaking and said to Jesus, if he would have been here, it wouldn't have happened. Lazarus wouldn't have died. And then Jesus replied and says, your brother will resurrect again. And then Martha said, yes, I know, he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And then Jesus speaks again in that John 11:25. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And Martha said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world. Going back again at the last part of verse 25, he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. We're dying the physical death. We're getting dust again. But we're going to live because we've got the eternal life. The eternal life, the spiritual life, that spiritual relationship that we've got with God is not going to stop when we're going to die. It's going to carry on. And through Jesus, we can have that eternal life. And we can spend eternity with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, if we're talking about eternity, I want to take you to John 17, verses 3. It says, and this is eternal life. This is a life which is going to carry on forever and ever, that they may know you. So if we know him, if we know God, then we can have eternal life. The only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus is praying over here. He's praying to God. And he's praying for all the believers. And he's saying over there, eternal life is knowing God. If we know God, we can have eternal life. And the New Testament describes the eternal life as a present reality. Eternal life is not going to happen the day when we're going to die, or when Jesus is going to come back, whichever of the two comes first. No. Eternal life starts as soon as you start with a spiritual relationship with God. So it gives us a present reality, but it gives us also a future hope. We were singing about it as well, that hope would we get, that we're going to live forever with God. And if we are experiencing eternal life, the now and the forever, it's dependent on the power in the direction of the Holy Spirit. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work through us and in us, that we've got that relationship with God. The next verse you can skip. But then in end times, we are living in the end times. And the end times started when Jesus ascended to heaven. This is when the end time started, which is approximately 2,000 years ago. And I just want to show you, now I've got to take it a little bit closer by because I haven't got such good eyes as my wife has got, because he can see everything. They did a survey in April 2020, and they asked, do you see any signs of the return of Jesus? And this is done in America. So when I Googled on my friend, then I got this one, and I thought, okay, it makes sense. Because when I was speaking again to somebody on Monday, and he also spoke to other pastors, and he said, there's becoming such a type of an atmosphere that we're living in the end times. The days are getting less each and every day. Yes, you can say, okay, it's one day each and every day. No, we are living in the end times, and we've got to be prepared. But we'll come to that just now. Is there any signs of the return of Jesus? Is there any rise of false prophets and false teachings? 83% of them said yes. Is there any that the love of many believers are growing cold? 81% of the pastors said yes. Is their traditional morals becoming less accepted? 79% said yes. Or the wars and national conflicts? We just have got to switch on the TV. 78% yes. Or the earthquakes and other natural disasters? There is an app, I think Renee has got it on her phone, which is giving her each and every time a note when there's an earthquake somewhere above a certain percentage. It's actually frightening to see how much is happening in this world of earthquakes and volcanoes. The number of people abandoning the Christian faith, 75% of them said yes. Churches are getting more emptier. Famines, 70%. Anti-Semitism towards Jewish people worldwide, 63%. And when they asked those pastors, 56% of them expected that Jesus was going to return in their lifetime. So we're living in the end times, and we've got to be ready then in the end times. Because between now and the New Jerusalem, a lot of things have got to happen. Quite a lot of things have got to happen. If we take a look at the amount of Bible scriptures who are referring to that period, and then I thought, must I do it or mustn't I do it? And I thought, yes, we've got to do it. Because if we have been having a look just now at that God is the source of life, we take it the life who we are at the moment, and we take look of where we're going to, we must understand what the Bible says of what is going to happen. And those things which are going to happen, are we seeing them or are we not seeing them? And this is also printed quite small, so I've got to keep my glasses on now. And I've printed a few out. I've put it on the table next to the offering bag. If you say yes, you're more interested in the last days of history, in when we're coming to the end times, then take that one along. The scriptures are next to it. It gives you maybe a little bit of an idea of what are the things which still have got to happen. We're going to have the last days of preparation, when we're going to see again what we've read just now as well, the increase of the false prophets, the increase in crime and disregard of God's law, an increase in wars, a decrease of love and family affection, more severe persecution of God's people. Those who stand firm will be saved, and the gospel will be preached to the whole world. And the Spirit will be poured out on God's people. That scriptures are telling us in the end times we're going to see more of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we've got to be open for that. We've got to receive that. And we must let the Holy Spirit flow through us. Then I'm just quoting a few out of the rapture part. Christ will come unexpectedly. So those guys who've got a date and a time and an hour when Jesus is going to come back, no. Christ will come unexpectedly. Christ will come to catch up the believers living on the earth at this time. So Jesus can come back. I'm ready. I'm ready. Jesus can come, and he can come and then collect the believers. And the believers who died before this event, they will rise and will be caught up with Christ. Then we're going to have the tribulation and then the great tribulation. The tribulation is that the Antichrist will appear. It will last for 7 years. And it will be a time of persecution for all who were faithful to Jesus. And then in a great tribulation, we will see demonic activity. It will increase. And there will be a religious deceit, which will be widespread. And in Christ, the last part of the great tribulation is that Christ will triumph over the Antichrist and the armies. And then the Antichrist, he will be a ruler through the tribulation. And he will attempt to kill those who haven't got the mark of the beast. And then Jesus is going to come. Jesus' glorious appearing from heaven to judge and to wage war. And Jesus will return with the believers and his angels. So he's taking up the believers, and then he's coming back with the believers and his angels. And Christ will separate the people on the earth, and Christ will judge and destroy the ungodly, including the Antichrist and Satan. And then we're going to have the millennium. I'll say something about the millennium just now. The millennium, Satan will be bound. The church and all the martyred tribulation saints will reign with Christ, and children of God will be at rest, and it will end with Christ turning over the kingdom to the Father. And then we will have the final judgment, and all the wicked will be raised from the dead to face judgment, and all God's enemies will be put in the lake of fire. And then the last is, we're going to have the new heaven and a new earth. God will destroy the present earth, and God will create a new heaven and a new earth, and God will wipe away all effects of sin, and a new earth will become the headquarters of God. And this is what we're looking for. There are quite a few things happening in the meantime before we're going to have the final New Jerusalem. And there are different opinions about, quite a lot different opinions. There are people who wrote thick books about it. And the one which I just want to highlight out is the millennium, the 1,000 years. In Revelation 20, verses 4 to 6, it's 3 times mentions about 1,000 years. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. And then I saw the souls on those who have been beheaded for their witness to Christ and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received his mark on foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God in Christ, and they shall reign with him 1,000 years. The reason why I'm reading these scriptures now is we're talking about 1,000 years, about the millennium. Now, on this specific topic, you already have got 3 different types of opinions what people have got based on what's written in the Bible. So I just took a part of this end times, and I'm taking off that part, you already have got 3 different opinions. So there are many different opinions about it, of what is actually the correct and what is not the correct, and what is the right sequence. But there are a lot of scriptures, which is good to know about it, and that's what I said. If you are interested, you're welcome to take it home. You've got the people who say they are the pre-millennium. And they say is that the people are going to reign with Christ, of that they're going to reign after Christ returns. And they're going to establish then the kingdom. Then you've got the people who say it's going to be a post-millennium. It's going to be prior to Christ's return. Because they say that through the evangelism and through establishing of Christian governments all over the world, the Christians are going to reign. So you've got people who say it's going to be after Christ. The one says before Christ, and the other one says a millennium. They say they do not affirm a literal 1,000 years. So they say it's revelation. It is just a matter of it could happen, it could not happen. They feel you mustn't read it as really 1,000 years. Now, just on the millennium, you already have got 3 different opinions. Now, I'm going to give you the opinion of 3 Protestant reformers in Europe of what they thought about Revelation, about the book of Revelation. You must probably heard about them. Martin Luther, Zwingli, and Calvin. You've heard about those guys. They were involved in the Reformation over here, in the Protestant Reformation. Luther said, everyone thinks of this book what his spirit suggests. So you read the book and you make out of the book whatever you want to make out of the book. That is what he says about Revelation. Calvin says he took it out of his New Testament commentary. So he wrote commentary on each and every book. But he took the one from Revelation, so he took it out. He was maybe so puzzled or confused, I don't know. Zwingli said, its testimony can be rejected. It's not a book of the Bible. And the last part of Revelation specifically says, do not add anything or do not take something away. 3 major reformers. This is what they say about Revelations, because they don't know actually what to do with it. They or puzzled. So if you feel puzzled about Revelations, don't worry about it. There are a lot of scriptures on that piece of paper, if you take it along, which are coming out of it. If it's the one before the other one or whatever, what I always say, I know what I'm going to. I'm going to the New Jerusalem. It's the same as I'm going to the station. And if I'm going to take bus 7 or bus 77, I don't know. But I'll get at the station. This is what's important for me. We are in the end time. And if we are in the end time, there's more fight. If we take, okay, let's take a soccer game. If we take a soccer game and the one team is one goal behind the other team and there's only 5 minutes left, you've never seen those guys running as hard as those last 5 minutes because they know it's 5 minutes, it's time now. They must, if they want to score, they've got to score now. It's the same if you take and if you play a board game which has got a time limit on it. As soon as you come to the end of the time limit, then suddenly the people are very, very unfriendly, those who are on the losing side. I see a few smiling of you. That's what's happening. The same thing is happening with the enemy. He knows he is lost already at the cross. And he knows that we are living in the end times. And we're coming to that last day, and he's trying each and every wicked thing what he can think of to make it difficult for us. So there's really a war going on. But it depends on how do we react to the war. We can say, I don't want to be involved in the war, and I'm just going to sit on my couch with the remote, and I say, okay, I'm waiting. I'm going to wait through this end times, because it says we're waiting in the end times, and I'll see what's happening, and I'll just make it comfortable around me, and I'll just wait. And the end times will come. Or we're going to say, it's wartime. What can we do? What can we still do? What time do we still have left what we can do something for God's kingdom over here? What is God's idea? People have got to be saved. We've read it just now. We can pray for them for healing. We can cast out demons. We can explain the gospel to them. Those are the things what we can do in this last part of the war, in this last part of the end times. God is life. God is always life. He was, he is, and he will always be life. That's the trust what we've got in God. So we know that we're going to have eternal life with him. And God wants to that we as creation of him are going to be with him forever and ever. That's his plan. And that's why he brought Jesus Christ also, that we can accept him as a Lord and Savior. God wants to give all of us that eternal life. We've got a giving God. And what he wants to give is life, eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 11 and 12. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Very short, very sweet. If we do not have Jesus, we're not having eternal life. God has given us eternal life. He's a loving God. He's a giving God. And he gives us that eternal life. And as I'm summarizing, I hope that we this afternoon can just actually take that step back. Because if we are so involved in our daily things around us, that we can just look, just do that step back and say, okay, God started with life. A physical life, a spiritual life. I've got a connection with God now. But where am I going to? And what is so important in these end times? And that is that we've got to, not to be quiet, but that we've got to share it with other people, that we've got to tell them. God wants to give you as well eternal life. On Thursday evening, I had a very nice conversation with a guy. His name was Jan. And he didn't want to know anything about Jesus Christ. But then I asked him a few questions, and then he started talking. And at the final end, we actually had a very good talk. And we spoke about quite a few things. And then I said to him, but I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to ask you, because I said, you know everything. He says, yeah, more or less knows everything. And then I used what the people from Bible school, one will most probably remember. I said, no, how much do you know of what the knowledge of the whole world? I said, 5%, 10%? He said, no, not even 1%. He said, maybe point. I said, okay, I'll round it off to the next. I'll make it 1%. You know 1% of all the knowledge of the whole world. Is there not a possibility that in the other 99% that God is in there? Why don't you look at it? Why don't you research it? Why don't you want to have a look at it? And then I challenged him. I said, I'm going to challenge you to read Psalm 139. But ask beforehand that God is going to reveal himself to you through that psalm, that you can understand what God is actually telling you and who God is. And so, yes, he walked away. I don't know. I don't know what he's doing. Hopefully, he is going to do it. He looked quite serious about it. But we could also pray for him that he could get healed. And I trust that he got healed, but it was difficult to prove because it was just now and then that he was getting a little bit conscious of mislook. I'm not quite sure what the right word is over there. But anyway, we prayed for it, and I'm trusting that he's healed. God has got eternal life. He wants to give it to each and every one. But God wants to use us to tell it to other people and to live it out as well, to have hope. We're not even, each and every day, we haven't got always a smile on our face when we stand up. Sometimes a little bit grumpy. But we've got to keep that in mind. If we are mixing with other people, and if we are saying that we are reflecting Christ, then we must put up a smile, a confident smile of knowing that we've got eternal life through Jesus Christ.
How great the cares that lay between us, how high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Would you imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down to glory, to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living Lord. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip. Salvation in your Goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, it's surrounded now, giving anything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. It's running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, surrounded now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every bread that I am able, I will sing of the good.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.